Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, thank you. Hebrews 11, we just want to continue a little bit on what we've shared before from Hebrews 11. Faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. We share that the two pillars of faith are what? Substance and evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by substance and evidence, the elders obtain a good report. By substance and evidence, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By substance and evidence, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through substance and evidence, he that is Abel being dead still speaks. And we shared, we'll just reiterate some of the things we shared before, that faith is one of the very few words in the Bible where the Bible gives a definition. And I think it's fitting that the definition is at the beginning of the hall of faith, because the definition defines what everybody did in that hall of fame of faith, how they did it, and how they became victorious in doing it. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that by substance and evidence, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, and in doing so, he died. You can die in faith. It's no good living by faith and then dying by doubt. If you're going to live by faith, you need to die by faith. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And we share that when substance and evidence are there, then faith is present. When they are not there, there's no faith. Are you okay? Is that all right? Okay. Hallelujah. But when that, how does that substance and how does that evidence come? It comes by hearing. It doesn't come because you heard. It doesn't come because you've been taught. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and hearing is present continuous. What you heard yesterday was for yesterday, but faith now, faith is. Not faith was or faith will be. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that substance and that evidence comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And our attitude, therefore, to the word of God is very important, because the Bible says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, attitude of meekness, the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Some people, they hear the word of God with criticism. Some people hear the word of God with butt. There's a lady on the top of the South Island, they call her the butt lady. It doesn't matter what the pastor says, but. The Bible says, lay aside filthiness superfluity of naughtiness. That's talking about a little kid that's no. No. You know, tell him no. He says, you lay that aside. You don't hear the word of God with, I heard that before. Well, you will never get faith. All you ever get is criticism. And the more word you get, the more criticism you got, because the attitude of your heart is pride. You receive with meekness, lay aside malice, but desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. You desire the sincere milk. The word of God is milk for the babies. The word of God is bread for the eater. The word of God is seed for the sower. Are you okay? But you hear the word of God, and this substance and this evidence comes by hearing. Hallelujah. It doesn't come by prayer. I hear a lot of genuine Christians, sincere Christians. You can be very sincere and be very wrong. There's a lot of sincere Muslims. There's a lot of sincere Hindus. They're all wrong. You can be very sincere as a Christian and pray a very sincere prayer that God will never answer. Why? He's already answered the prayer. There's no need for you to ask for faith. God has already given you the answer. Faith comes by hearing. To pray for faith is a waste of time. You need to hear. So your attitude to hearing the word is very important, because if you pray, God, give me faith. God said, I've already answered that prayer. Pray another prayer. Give me patience. You want me to answer that prayer? Those prayers are already answered. You ask God for faith. Yeah, you're going to get really in trouble. You ask God for faith, you ask God for patience, God's already answered. Ask somebody that he has an answer, something that he has an answer. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we shared last time, faith comes by hearing or it cometh not. It depends on the posture of your heart. But when it comes, that substance and that evidence move in and dwell with you. When you hear the word of God, substance and evidence will come. Hallelujah. And when you have that substance and evidence, praise God. You can call the thing that's not as though it already exists. If you don't have the substance and evidence, you just lied to yourself. I've got that. No, you haven't. Until you have substance and evidence, you don't have nothing. Hallelujah. Now, the devil has a job, and he does it very well. And the devil's job is to rob you of the word of God. We shared a little bit about that when the word of God comes, the birds of the air will come. The Bible says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Let me ask you a question. The word of God is the seed of God. It's the sperma of God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Is there a tree in the seed? Yeah. Let me ask you another question. Does the seed guarantee the tree will come out? No. So when the seed goes through a process, the tree will come out of the seed. So all the seed has to do is manifest. And when the seed manifests in the right conditions, what comes out? A tree. But the tree has already been in the seed. Is there a miracle in the seed of the Word of God? Yes. Is there salvation in that seed? Yes. All it has to do is manifest. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So when the substance and evidence come, your job is to nurture that. Your job is to practice that. Your job is to stay steady. Hallelujah. The devil's job is to rob it. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, destroy. And many times faith is just beginning to arise and the devil comes along and picks it out of your heart. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And we are to contend for the Word of God that is sown in our hearts. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of. That's not just one line to the verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. That means there's eternal life in that word. There is a life that supersedes our natural life. And that life is in that word. And the Bible says, lay hold of eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of the substance and the evidence. And then latch hold of that kind of life. Whereto thou art also called. And hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You are called to live a life that is above natural life. My thoughts are, my ways are as high as the heaven is above the earth. So are my ways and my thoughts above your ways and your thoughts. But as the rain and the snow comes down. Now what is rain? The Word of God. What connects heaven and earth? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. What is the ladder Jacob saw? That ladder connected heaven and earth. What connects the heavens and the earth? Rain comes down. Rain never goes up. Have you ever seen rain falling up? And then it says, rain and snow will come down. It will cause the ground to bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Most Christians say, and gives seed to the eater and bread to the eater. Don't eat your seed. Even a non-Christian know that. Even a heathen know he can't eat his seed. Why do you sow with tears? Because sometimes the only thing that there is there to eat is the seed. But don't eat the seed. Plant the seed. So even if you plant in tears because you're hungry, you want to eat the seed. Don't eat the seed. Plant the seed. Why? There is a, hallelujah, there is a tree, there is a forest, there is a plantation in the seed. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Is this all right? Hallelujah. So there are adversaries to substance and evidence. The Bible says, hallelujah. The deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in will choke out the substance and evidence. They will choke it out of your life. So while you're contending for this, everything around you may be saying something so totally different. And sometimes it will squeeze out the Word of God from your heart. You not just guard your heart, you guard the word that is in your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Life flows from within. And what is outside many times can clog up what's inside. Hallelujah. That's why you need to guard what's inside. Why? Because you are actually built inside out. You are far bigger inside than outside. But outside can clutter up what's inside. Hallelujah. People carry unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness is not outside. Unforgiveness is inside. But unforgiveness came inside because of things that happened outside. So there is a lot of things that will contend for the substance and evidence that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And even right now, even today, you go out that door, there are things outside, there are outside forces that will assault your five senses. And they can cause the word to be unfruitful. Hallelujah. Why? Because all of us walk by faith and also walk by sight. You walk by sight. You came here. If you walk by faith, you'll collide into a tree because you walk by sight. So your sight, your natural understanding, will assault your spiritual understanding. And they contend. There are two worlds, the natural and the supernatural. And because the natural is what you see, many times we take in the natural. That's why it's easier for you to absorb negativity than it is to absorb good news. It's like you need 1,000 good news for one negative report. One negative report defeated 3.5 million people. One negative report. And sometimes those negativity, because you can see it, assault what's inside. And you are forever contending for the faith that is within. When we win that battle, we can lay hold of life and more life. There are three kinds of life. There's bio, which is your physical body, the life of the body. There's psuche, or psychology, the life of the soul. Then there's zoe. That's eternal life. That's the life of the spirit. You lay hold of that life. Why? Because the Bible says you're called to that life. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. If you live in this natural planet, in this natural world, and we do, if all you have is what you know and what you see, you'll be defeated every single time. And you say, well, I know some people who don't walk with God, and they are living quite well. Yes, you know why? They're not fighting. Why would the devil fight them when he's already got them? So don't be surprised if the wicked that you know live much better lives than you. Why? Because the devil's not going to fight them. So they have no opposition to their lifestyle. There is opposition to your lifestyle. This is not a holiday beach. This is war. But when you understand that, when you understand living by faith, the Bible says, he that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is how we overcome the world, even our faith. There's nothing more satisfying to the human heart than living for God. You may struggle. Hallelujah. Amen. David had the same problem. David said, I look at the wicked and they're doing better than me. Their children are doing better than my children. They got a better income. Their children's school fees are paid. What about mine? And the Bible says, then he went into the sanctuary and he understood the end of the matter. It's not the end until it's the end. It's not finished until that lady sings. It does not matter how great your life has been. It's in the end. And you know who's at the end? He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. It begins with him. It ends with him. Who's going to be there at your end? The plans I have for you are plans to do you good and not evil, to give you a hope and a future, an end that has hope in it. Jesus said there was a very well-off man, and he was the minister of finances. And he was so well-off, he pulled down huge high-rise buildings and built greater high-rise buildings. And I mean, he was it. His office was immaculate. His car was expensive. Everything happens. He's got elevators up to his office and workers and everything, managers and whatever. And then he said, soul, you've done so well. Why don't you just eat and be merry? You know what Jesus called him? Idiot. There's a lot of idiots with high-rise buildings. He said, you fool. You've done all that and you've done nothing for your soul. And your soul is going to be required tonight. I want you to know something. Your soul is the most expensive, most enduring thing that you possess. You can gather the whole world and still not have the value of your soul. Your soul will live on when the moon and the stars collapse. Your soul endures beyond anything, and forever and ever and ever, your soul will live. Jesus said, gain then the whole world if you want to, but you will lose your soul. The most priceless possession you've got is your soul. The most enduring possession you've got is your soul. What life are you living? Lay hold of eternal life. And when the Christian dies, whether he dies by beheading, he said, where is the substance and evidence still there? Whether he dies by beheading or he dies of a sickness or whatever, you know what the Bible says? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his sin. Precious. What is precious to this God who's got everything? The death of his saints. Why? Because the death of a saint to us, the body goes to Adam Oho. But the spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I mean, people get more excited going to America than going to heaven. America is rubbish, sin. It's Babylon. It may be the only Babylon they've got, but it's still Babylon. And yet when the Kiwis go to Babylon, they're, oh, we're going to Babylon. But when they go to heaven, they're, oh, yeah. You know what? You will never, ever die. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, still lives. And he that he that lives and does not believe in me, though he's alive, he's dead. That's why the Bible tells you not to be married to a non-Christian. Why? You're married to the dead. Now, have you ever married the dead? Huh? Don't marry the dead. Marry the living. And there are many young people flirting with death. They'll end up marrying the dead. If I take a picture of a dead man and a lovely Christian girl hugging in bed, he's a dead guy and a Christian girl hugging in bed. That's exactly what it's like to be married to unbelievers. You're marrying the dead. Now, if you are already married before you got saved, then God said, I'll sanctify the dead for your sake. But before you get married, don't marry the dead. He may be good looking, but he's still dead. How did I ever get there? Lay hold of eternal life. Don't lay hold of death. Hallelujah. Are you okay? You're so good. Hallelujah. Now, substance and evidence is in the book of Hebrews. And it's only in the book of Hebrews. It illustrates the whole scriptures, but it's only found in the context of Hebrews. That means you need to understand it in the context of that book if you're going to understand it further. Hallelujah. The wise man that ever lived was talking about these two lives. And let me just finish up a point before I carry on. He said, this life is sight, this life is faith. And he said, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your... See, this is sight, this is faith. Trust in the Lord and lean not on what you know. That doesn't mean you shouldn't know anything. That doesn't mean you shouldn't understand anything. But don't trust on your understanding. Lean on God. Because everybody lives this way, but the Christian lives this way. You and I are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But we do. We have to. And then we have to decide which life we're going to live. Now, if you walk this way and that way, James said, you will get nothing. Because you're unstable in all your ways. Don't think that you get something from God, because you're like that. You're like the sea. You're unstable. One day, the next day. Have you ever seen Christian life? One day they're singing the praises of God. Next day, and then, hello. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in me. Bless His holy name, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Is this all right? So to understand it, you have to understand it in the context of Hebrews. And Hebrews was written to a Jewish people. A people who understood God. A people who had a history with God. A people who had the priesthood. A people that got the law. A people that their whole history is God. And it was written to that people to remind them, hallelujah, about this great God of glory. Now, let me have a look at chapter 4 just for a moment. I know I've got 10 minutes. I'll say a few things and we can have a cup of tea. Is it all right? Do you want a cup of tea? I want a cup of tea. If you don't want a cup of tea, you can stay here. I'll go and have one. Chapter 4, it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. The word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with substance and evidence. So here is the people, and God says, this is my people. The Jews are God's people. They're promised people. The Jews had the law. The Jews had Moses. This book is a Jewish book. You want to find out who wrote the book? There's only one in there that's not Jewish. And her name was Ruth. The whole book is Jewish. You know what the Bible says? The same gospel that is preached now to us was preached to them, but it did not profit them. So if the very people that Jesus came to, and the very people that the law was given, and the very people that had the priesthood, and the very people that had the feasts, if that very people did not profit from this word, it wouldn't profit you. So it's written specifically to them. And it's written to us. The gospel is first to the Jews and then to the... So it's an ensemble, it's an example to teach us how to live. Now, in the context of Hebrews, Hebrews is the supremacy of Jesus Christ. God spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, but He's speaking to us today by His Son. The prophets were fantastic, but Jesus is greater. The angels were great, but Jesus is greater. Moses was great, but Jesus is greater. The fathers were great, but Jesus is greater. The priesthood was great, but Jesus is greater. The law was fantastic, but Jesus is greater. And Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His word. And sometimes, you know, when the centurion came to Jesus, the father, we can talk about the centurion next time. Father came to Jesus and said, my son is dying. And Jesus said, go home. The son is well. No angels, no vision, no angelic visitation. He just believed the word of God. Julie Costello, come here, please. No. It's because many times you look at the experiences of others, their dreams, their prophetic visions, and you ask yourself, when am I going to experience something like that? But you don't. You just seem to know God. No feelings, no other thing, but just faith in Jesus. No, nothing seemed to be supernatural, just faith, just raw faith in God. And that's been your experience. And you know what pleases God? Not the visions, not the prophetic dreams. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Thank you for staying the course. God bless you. Go and have a cup of tea.